forward seems too much. When you feel totally out of touch, hope is seeping out the door. You find yourself curled on the floor. The thoughts swirl round, all jumbled and messed. Why is this brain so darkly obsessed? I've secrets I've never confessed. Haven't told a soul I am depressed. A gentle breathe deeply, hold on tight. Your hope will return shining. Your strength be shown.
Hello, hello. It's really good to be back. It's Elaine Lindsay with Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And my guest today, returning, is Frank King. Hi there, Frank.
Hey, somebody asked me on LinkedIn. There's a post about suicide, and it said, do you respect people who took their lives?
Oh, wow.
Yes, I do. I said there's some argument in the mental health community. Whose life is it anyway?
Yeah.
Who am I to tell someone not to? I said, as long as there's no serious collateral damage in their wake, then my grandmother died by suicide. I had great respect for her, a great aunt, same thing. My mom, saying I respect. I have a number of friends, comedian friends who died by suicide. I respect them. I would prefer that was not their choice, but I also said in the reply that the majority of people that I know, myself included, who are suicidal don't want to die so much as they want to end the pain. But so, yeah, I still have respect for them. I wish that had not been their choice, but
yeah,
you know.
That's a really good question. And I will say, in all honesty, years ago, I struggled with that. Because being suicidal my whole life, it was something, one, I didn't want to look at. And when I lost my friend at 16, I think I was afraid to allow myself to get angry. Because I was so busy protecting Andrea from those around us, I just couldn't look at it. And in hindsight, I couldn't look at it because that meant that what I thought about every day was something that people would be angry at me for. And that's maybe not a good way to explain it, but I did go through a period in my 20s and 30s where I thought, oh my God, that's so selfish. And I'm the dark Pollyanna because half of me is always fighting with the other half. And there were so many times where exactly what you said, wanting the pain to end. Sometimes that pain is mental. Sometimes it's emotional. In my case, if you keep getting hit by cars, you know what? It hurts. It really hurts. Yeah. And so that pain was very much physical. And yes, I very much didn't want it. Coming from the lofty age of damn near 70, I think I understand and have compassion for those who have gone, because I know, and so do you, what a dark place you can get to where you just want it to stop.
Yes, and I say this in my keynote.
Yep.
People say it's such a selfish act. And yes, from the outside looking at it, it is selfish. However, from the inside looking out, there is something you're well aware of called a burdensomeness, where the person feels like they're a burden. to whomever, to the world, to their family, and that the world would in fact be better off without them. So it's almost a selfless act, irrational, but selfless act from the inside looking out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I cannot tell you the number of times where, you know, in the early 80s, I went for a surgery that the whole family was totally against. And, well, first off, the doctor killed me twice, but that went into the last 40 years of constant surgeries and pain and trouble for my family that I believe was my fault. And that's a hell of a burden to carry. So yes, I wanted to take away that burden from the family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like I said before, it's only recently that I understand that's not the case. But somebody said to me years ago, you can't read the label from inside the jar. And that is so true. Because well, we do see it from the inside.
And I tell parents, children, young adults, if the child is depressed or the young adult's depressed, suicidal, not to say something like, but you have so much to live for.
Which yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't really make any difference. I tell them, join the conversation in the person's head. Say to them, look, I know it's crossed your mind that you're a burden to your mom and me. However, yeah. In no uncertain terms, are you a burden? It may have crossed your mind that the world would be better off. We'd be better off without you. And in no uncertain terms, would we ever be better off without you? So you're actually joining the conversation they're having with themselves.
Yeah. That's such a good point. And it also speaks to people are afraid to say the word suicide or yes. To ask someone. And yet that's the best thing you can do.
Yes, actually lowers the risk.
Yeah.
Reduces the risk. Yeah, I talk about that in my keynote. I say there's a wives' tale, old wives' tale or urban legend that you should never mention the S word, suicide, in front of someone who's depressed because it might give them the idea. And I tell them as a comic, I find that fascinating because suicide, what a great idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Why didn't I think of
that? Yeah, duh, it crossed my mind, trust me. And the opposite is, in fact, the truth. It reduces the risk of them dying by suicide. And I tell them, look, you need to ask the question if you think they're suicidal. Are you having thoughts of suicide? If you can't ask that, find somebody who can. If you can't find anybody, here's my cell phone number. Call me, I'll ask them.
Yeah, and it's such a, again, our brains are so powerful, yet so convoluted. And I honestly believe the brain is the greatest liar that ever lived. Because if you suddenly get a thought in your head, whether it's true or not is irrelevant. But your brain will do all it can to support that thought and continue on that pathway, no matter what it is. It's why the old thing is, don't think about a pink elephant. It's why yeah. That works. The minute you put that thought in people's heads, they can't help but see that pink elephant. And the way our brain works, I think an interesting little trick I've used for me, when I get to a place where I can separate all those bad thoughts and realize, okay, I have to get away from that, I'll start thinking about, in my case, squirrels and chipmunks and just silly little things to do with animals, because it takes me down such a different road. And I love animals so much, that just makes me happy. It's just a little tiny tweak, but you have to be in a place where you can still be cognizant of what's going on in your head. Because we get so far into it, you're boxed in, you don't see anything but the thoughts that are supporting that inclination to want to disappear, to want to leave. And that's, I think, the hardest thing is being able to catch yourself at that moment. For a teenager, for young people who just need someone to listen, going to them and offering to be there to listen. I put up a meme, I don't know, a month ago with duct tape over my mouth saying, truly, I'll listen if I have to wear duct tape so that I don't butt in. Because very often we're not looking, and you know this, I'm sure, we're not looking for people to fix us.
No.
You know, we're not looking for someone to ride in on their white horse and do all that's almost more draining and takes more power from you. If the minute you want to talk to somebody, they think they should immediately mount up and cue the horses. Let's get this one safe, which is really not the point.
They mean well.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's not always a good thing. And I think, and I know you have the tools, and I know there's a lot of courses and things out there now where just the average Joe can go and take a course so that they know what to do in the situation if they come upon someone who is suicidal.
Yes, my favorite, actually, and I put up the URL for this, is mentalhealthfirstaid.org.
Ah, okay.
It's mentalhealthfirstaid.org. It's a great mental health 101. You can take it, I think, now online, 6 to 8 hours. Okay. If you go to the website, put in your zip code, tell them you want a class within 25-mile radius, it will tell you where all the classes are when they start. And I think I paid all of $25.
Oh, that's good.
And then threw in lunch. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
And they give you a binder, and it's got a page or so on each illness: depression, schizoaffective disorder.
Anxiety.
We call it
borderline personality.
Yeah, non-lethal self-harm and suicide. Oh, and right. Yeah, so it's chock. It's just a great, and you take the binder with you, so that you can. It's got the signs and symptoms and what to say and not to say. It's a great 6 to 8 hour course. Like I said, very inexpensive. So if you're looking to learn, also National Alliance of Mental Illness, NAMI, there's a chapter in just about every county. And let's say if somebody in your family who has schizoaffective disorder, 4 week class, one night a week for the family to go in and learn what to say, not to say, what to do, what not to do, how to find resources. And they have family to family counseling. So you realize you're not alone. There are other families with similar situations. And the best thing about National Alliance of Mental Illness, NAMI, is everything they do is free. I volunteer at the county and the state level. I've done some keynoting for them. So yeah, it's just a great organization.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. And you have Samaritans in the States as well as Britain.
I've never come across Samaritans actually in the States.
Okay. I know someone who is in, I believe, Boston.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And there's a lot in the States. There's a lot more opportunities now and a lot more not-for-profits that do different courses. And a friend in Toronto just opened the Mentor, and it is for young people to be paired up with a mentor, usually with lived experience, that they can work with someone that they trust and build one of the other thing groups calls it a trust circle. There is a group here in Ottawa that's affiliated with the Royal Ottawa Hospital. It's Ottawa Distressed Youth. And they do the same kind of thing, build up a trust group for these young teens. They're doing an event later or early October here in Ottawa, but they've been doing it for many years. And I think it's wonderful that things like NAMI and Mental Health and the Royal and all of these, UK's Baton for Hope, and there's so many different groups out there. Just in the past, I would say 5 to 10 years, we're finally getting a good movement. Because to me, suicide prevention and awareness is not a moment. It should be a movement. And that's part of my strong belief, my mission to keep things going all year long. Because it seems like everything else, like heart month and liver month and whatever month, the rest of the year, we don't think about those things.
True.
What is daffodil? April is the daffodil thing for cancer. But the rest of the year, we don't really, that's not high on our radar. And this is so final, okay, of everything can be. But suicide to me is the most important to stop because there are no stages. There is no chemo. There is no stopgap for in between. There is one goal in suicidality, one goal, that's it. And it's not really remission. You are constantly, when you have suicidal ideation, you are constantly working on staying present. But I think it's really important to make the distinction between suicide and other things, because we haven't for so long. It's never been put in a category where this is one of the most important things you can do is keep people alive, help them to help themselves, to find hope, because that to me is ultimately what's lacking. The minute you lose hope, that's how you go down that path.
I've always seen it as hopelessness.
Yeah.
And there's a new program. I have a QR code, but I can't. I was looking to see if I could put it in the chat, but there's no way to put a document in the chat.
No, not in the. Oh, not in the private one.
Yeah, I don't see a button. Well, let's see.
No, actually, I don't either. Can you maybe sneak it to me by email while we're talking, and we can. If not, we will get it up at the end of the show, and we will make sure it's in the notes so that people can get a hold of the QR code.
I can. What's your best email?
Elaine at SZ or SZF42.com.
And Elaine is spelled differently. No, it's
E-L-A-I-N-E. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
This is a QR code.
Okay, and perfect.
I'll attach it. Yeah, it takes you to this. The idea is stop, drop, and roll is the idea.
Oh.
Yeah, if you catch on fire, the advice is stop, drop, and roll. QR code. Stop.
Wow.
Drop and roll. Yeah, I put it into my presentation for the first time this week. I put it in there. Let's see if I can find the PowerPoint, actually. Hang on. The idea being that most suicides, when somebody decides they're going to die by suicide, they decide they're going to do it, it happens within 10 minutes. And let's see, where's them? And so if you stop, if you're in the middle of that storm and you can stop and wait to do anything, to make any serious decision, I think they suggest for 24 to 48 hours.
Wow.
Then, yeah. I thought it was in there. Let's see. Make sure this is the right. I spoke to a group of, it was an organization, State of Washington. They're the people who are tasked with watching all of the police body cam video.
Oh, wow.
I can't even imagine. What they must, accident scenes, homicide, whatever. So it's even imagine how awful that must be. And of them, mostly women, because it's an admin position. And most of them, because body cams on the police haven't been around that long.
Yeah.
Most of them didn't sign up. That wasn't their original duty. This is something that they have, as police work morphed, and as more and more officers wore body cams, then somebody has to go through there and catalog it for if it goes to court.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Stop, drop, and roll. Okay, now I'm going to see if this is an explanation. Stop, drop, and roll. When you're suicidal or feel like you're emotionally on fire, stop, drop, and roll is our go-to skill for getting through the crisis. All right. I really think, why use this skill? Many people who have attempted suicide describe their attempts as happening during times of emotional, intense emotional pain. When someone feels on fire during a crisis, it can feel impossible to think.
Right.
People often say they wish someone would just tell them what to do so they don't have to think. As you were talking about, don't have to think.
Yeah. You know,
stop, drop, and roll. When do you use the skill? You want to kill yourself and you're afraid you're going to hurt yourself. You're totally overwhelmed. You're on fire emotionally or physically. All right. Let's see. Stop what you're doing, it says. Just freeze. Change rooms. Sit on your hands. Physically step away from things you would use to hurt yourself. Do whatever you need to stop yourself from acting impulsively. Say, I'm on fire, no major decisions allowed. Okay. Drop. Change your physiology fast. Drop your temperature by using cold water. Stick your face in a bowl of ice. Drink cold water. Take a cold shower. Drop down to sleep. Get in bed. Wrap yourself in blankets. Take a nap. You can figure it out when you wake up. Don't overdose. And finally, roll is find a strong distraction. Roll toward eye contact. If it's comfortable, find a friend or loved one to talk to on FaceTime. Look them in the eye. Ask them to help. Roll towards support, social support. Find a friend or loved one. The idea being that if you are somewhere and somebody catches on fire, if you're there,
yeah,
you're going to do whatever you can to help them. And if they... And if you're on fire and you drop to the floor and you roll it rather than run through the house, it puts out the fire.
Yeah.
Stop, drop. And, but you have to drop. You have to go down. The floor's not going to come up and help. You got to hit the floor. Two, if you saw somebody on fire, they drop, they're rolling, you don't have to ask yourself, gosh, I wonder if they want help.
Yeah.
Chances are, because they dropped means they don't want to burn. So they want help escaping the fire. So there's really no doubt if they drop, that means they are in a bad place. They definitely want help. That's the idea. You need to let someone know you definitely want help.
That is so good.
So I sent you an email with a link to the.
Yeah.
To
the, and I've got the QR code on the screen. I will make sure. Yeah. I will make sure it's also down below in the transcripts when we're done, and I will tack it on at the end of the show with the credits so people can use it. Oh, that is absolutely brilliant. I love the concept because it does. It's a really good way to communicate that you're looking for help.
Yes. If somebody drops to the ground, they're on fire, that tells you they want help. They want to live.
Yeah, you're not going to just leave them there. You're absolutely not going to just leave them there. That's crazy.
And as I said, the floor's not going to come up to meet you.
You have to
simply ask for help from the floor by getting on the floor and rolling. Anyway, I just thought I'd never seen that before last week. So I inserted it into the QR code into my presentation earlier this week.
That's really good. And I was going to say, funny enough, if you really think about it, even the physicality of actually dropping to the floor and rolling will change your physiology. It will change where your head is at too.
Yes.
Which I think, wow, it's so simplistic and yet so good. These are the things we need. We need things that are quick and simple that you can latch onto. Because I think we both know how far away from yourself you are when you get to that place of hopelessness.
Yes, and if you interrupt those thoughts.
Yeah.
We have collars. We lived on a place, we lived on Whidbey Island for a while. We had German shepherds, and there were deer on the island. And the German Shepherds would, if they saw a deer, go after the deer. So we bought collars and a remote, and the collar has a hawk scream on it. Not electrical charge.
Oh, just wow.
The scream of a hawk. So yeah. What you're doing is when they see the deer, they hit prey drive. But when they hear the hawk, it breaks that, the prey drive. Yeah, they just stop. So that's kind of what the idea is. Stop that thought process, that train from rolling. Yeah.
Oh, that is brilliant. And as someone who loves deer, I thank you very much, because I also love Alsatians.
Yeah, on the same thing. If it started going after a cat, all you gotta do is hit the button with a hawk scream and the dog stops.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if that would work on Spencer. Our dog has a thing about chasing the bunny. Ah. There was a bunny in our backyard. Now, my husband and the neighbor down the street dug in the fence because I have two escape artist chihuahuas.
Ah.
That can get under like a mouse hole they could go through and have for years. So we dug in the fence and then we ended up with the bunny. The bunny, however, has gone under. We have a screened in porch at the back.
Yeah.
And the bunny goes under the screened in porch. But the funniest thing happened last year at the end of the summer. I went out because something kept going. And it sounded like somebody was at the door. Like, it was so bizarre. And one of the dogs, the male, he kept trying to get outside. He was just going crazy. And so I thought, oh, fine. I get up and I let him out. And here's the damn bunny at the door. Did you just knock at the door? The bunny, Spencer chases the bunny. And then all of a sudden, they both stop. The bunny sits up and the dog sits up and they flip. And then the bunny is chasing the dog.
Oh.
And my husband wouldn't believe me last year, okay, until he saw it for himself. It was like, oh my God, that is so weird. Because the dog is fast enough, he could catch the bunny.
Right.
And the bunny is fast enough. He can really get away. He just can't get out of the yard. But they've made it such a game that he's not trying to get away. He's just trying to push his friend into following him. That's one way for me to break the cycle for me, is just go out in the yard, because there are a ton of animals out there that are pretty interesting.
Cat.
Cats are interesting. We haven't had a cat for a very long time.
We have a half dozen.
Oh, wow.
I just got it from a nap where three of them were napping with me.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
So I guess it would truly be a cat nap.
Yeah, it would be a cat nap for sure. We had I think they're called Pixie Bobs. It's a Minnesotan barn cat.
Oh.
And Lynx.
Manx.
No, and Lynx.
Oh, Lynx. Oh, Lynx.
Okay. Lynx and Minnesotan barn cats. It's less than 30 years old, the breed.
Oh.
They do have a short tail, but they look like a lynx. They have odd ears.
Yeah.
Play fetch better than a dog. And they talk. Ours was so talkative all the time. It was really funny. But her and my daughter did not get along. My granddaughter was getting her hair done. I think she was about 4. And she was screaming at the top of her lungs, because it seems any little kid doesn't want to get their hair done. And the cat took offense to the screaming and went after my daughter. And ever after, okay, a year later, my son and my daughter make a plan. She's going to sneak into town in the middle of the night for my birthday.
Oh.
So it's 1:30 in the morning. All of a sudden, it sounds like there's a mountain lion in the front hall. And my daughter's screaming, help! And my daughter loves cats. My daughter's always had cats. But Kasha was just, She was such a strange little beast. Animals are very interesting.
Yes, my fuzzy little antidepressants.
They are. They really are. Because if you're feeling down, your animals are always there. I think everybody should have an animal. I don't think people should be alone. I think they should have an animal because it is absolutely a comfort. Always, always.
Yes, and I was asked to do a summit. She'd booked a suicide prevention speaker. She and the speaker had a falling out over something, and the speaker ghosted her. She called me in a panic. Did I have the time? Sure, I'd be happy to. And she said, and the idea is that people will donate money to your favorite charity. So I said, it's the Pixie Project. She goes, what's the Pixie Project? I said, Small Animal Rescue. And I said, the connection to mental health is A, I believe everybody should have an animal. B, they rescue animals. And I believe, especially if you're living with a mental illness, when you rescue an animal, they also rescue you.
Oh, yeah.
This particular animal rescue does a lot of free veterinary work for the homeless who oftentimes have a mental illness. Yeah. So I said, there's the connection, is that they're helping the mentally ill who are homeless with their animals. And I think anybody, especially older, I've had people say, I want to get a dog because I'm 65 and I'm afraid I would outlive it. There are a lot of older dogs, 5, 6, 7 years old that are there to be adopted. So don't get a puppy, get a 3, 4, 5 year old dog, that good dog, well-behaved.
Yeah. And yeah, that companionship is absolutely, I believe, priceless. I really do believe that's a way to help people's mental health. And we have a veterinarian here. I think her name is Vera, but she travels around in a mobile van and looks after our homeless population's animals.
And if you get a dog, chances are the dog needs to go out. Dog needs to be walked. So you get you out. Get you walking. And there's a subculture of people who walk their dogs. You might bump into somebody really nice who, hey, let's have a puppy play date. Hey, let's take a walk together. So.
Yeah, we have Chihuahua play dates all the time. With most we had, I think, was 21.
Chihuahuas?
All together. Yeah. Wow. And my friend's Chihuahua's birthday is just after my first one. And my first one, we thought we were buying a purebred Chihuahua. We were actually rescuing a poorly abused little Chihuahua who was 11 months old. And she's definitely purebred, but she came from, they called it Chihuahua heaven. I say it's Chihuahua hell.
Okay.
Yeah. Took us 5 years to get her to want to be picked up. Five years. Yeah. But she's a little darling on her terms. She's definitely on her terms. But it's, to me, I think all the time, whether we rescue them, they always end up rescuing us.
Yes.
Having that unconditional love of an animal, be it a dog or what have you. But this birthday party, they had a little pool and they had some little sunglasses for dogs that they were taking pictures of some of the Chihuahuas. And they had a barcuterie board. I have some of the craziest pictures. And it's fascinating to see these tiny little pack of monsters roaming around. It's very loud, mind you.
Yeah, there's an old joke, one of my personal favorites, about dogs and husbands. It says, put your dog and your husband in your trunk, the trunk of your car, and close the lid. Come back in an hour. Open the lid of the trunk. See who's happy to see you.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Hey, you're back.
I might have to try that.
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you.
I don't know how thrilled he'll be with you when I tell him Frank said I should do this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Get in the car, honey.
Yeah. Yeah, we have an SUV. It's not I wouldn't have the same impact
in progress.
No, it wouldn't have quite the same effect.
Yeah. But it's, well, on the subject of homeless and their pets and vets and all of that, we have a lot of people that will go to certain pet stores. And we had a group of pet stores in the West End of Ottawa. Shout out to Carla Briones, who used to give all the sample dog foods.
Oh.
Package them up and take them downtown to our homeless population because they have quite a few animals.
Yeah.
And when I was at the region, I used to do that as well because I was working right downtown. And it's just, it doesn't take you much. You don't have to do it all the time. But if you happen to have your pet and you go into the pet store and they offer you some of the bags of trial dog food, why not take them and make sure that you give them out to somebody that doesn't have the same ability you have to feed their animal?
Yes, and I think SHRM, Society of Human Resource Managers, they have an initiative where, in the meetings business,
yeah,
they collect shampoo, soaps, and other things you get at the hotel.
Yeah. And then we do that as well. We have, actually, there is a lady here in Ottawa. Her name is Shauna Thibodeau. And for, to my knowledge, at least the past 5 years, this woman spends her days checking on our homeless population. She is forever collecting like Tim Hortons cards and McDonald's cards.
Yeah.
And the women's groups here in Ottawa, just before Christmas, we do cookie drives and hampers, Christmas baskets. And again, this year we did the cookie drive and took them all to the homeless, a backpack that was full of shampoo and all the little necessities. Mm-hmm. But also some really delicious home-baked cookies that were wrapped up for everybody. And Shauna has been doing this, like I said, for at least 5 years, all the time, which is just, I like shouting out some of the wonderful people that we come across in this world. Yeah, it's just amazing.
And I bumped into a woman speaking at the event where the people watched the body cam videos. And there's a woman named Polly. She came up and she said, I saw you last October at the Washington State Patrol event. And I came up to you afterwards and I asked you, hang on 1 second. Okay, yeah, I had another Zoom coming up, but she'd like to reschedule for next week. No problem. Anyway, she said, I asked you about my friend I knew was, for lack of a better term, circling the drain. I had mentioned to her adult children, I believe she was going to end her life. And they said, no, she'd never do that. But Polly was afraid that she was serious. She had time, place, and method. Ooh. So she asked me what I thought she should do. And I said, you should confront her about it, I guess. Not in a bad way, but in a, hey, I see what's going on. I know you need help.
Yeah.
So anyway, she did. She stepped up.
Oh, wow.
And she said, I warned her. I said, the woman's going to be upset with you. She's going to be mad. She's going to unfriend you on Facebook. But at least she'll be around to do so.
Yeah.
She confronted her about it. The woman was mad, but the woman agreed to go with her to get help. And the woman is still alive to this day.
Oh, yay.
And now is grateful that her friend stepped up. Yeah. So I thought that's one of the therapeutic elements of what I do. Is somebody
absolutely.
Has no idea what to do, had loose ends, how do I help? And I'm sure there are other people I'd never hear about, but it was nice for her to come up and let me know.
Oh my God, that was wonderful. Polly, awesome.
Yep, and it happens if I see somebody that I've seen before. But I did a show in the presentation in Vegas in February of 2024. And it was a father there whose son was struggling. And I gave him the advice that I told you, join the conversation in his head. Yeah. Tell him he's not a burden. Tell him he's, you know, you'd never be better off without him. And I was on a panel with the gentleman who had booked me this year. Here we are all together. He said, and I spoke and he was getting ready to speak. He goes, Frank, wait, don't go. Don't leave. Got to tell you, I heard from that gentleman that you spoke to after you. And he said he believes his son's alive because of the advice you gave him. So.
See, that is so wonderful. And as these good stories pile up, we're hoping that the stats are going down. That's absolutely my aim, and I know it's yours as well.
Yes. Yep. Somebody said to me, what's your goal? My daily goal is to save a life a day.
Yeah.
I said my big audacious, was it hag goal? Huge audacious goal.
Yeah.
Is it people quit killing themselves? I said, I know that's a long shot, but hey, if we get close.
Oh yeah, close would be excellent.
Yeah, my dream is that somebody goes, hey, I hear you're not speaking on suicide prevention anymore. How come? People quit killing themselves. Yes. I'd like to work out of a job.
That is so wonderful. Yes. And we'll put you out of a job and put me out of speaking and podcasting as well, which to me would be absolutely amazing. It's so incredibly important. And to that end, having people on to talk about these things, every single guest I've had on this show, like you, is so open to talking to people that are in crisis. And it's, to me, I think it's one of the most important things we can ever do. Whatever your purpose is, giving somebody, I've said this before, give one stranger 10 minutes once a month. If each of us did, that would be 12 people a year that are no longer strangers, and hopefully 12 people that stay.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a story.
Yes, and after I speak, I hear a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are terrifying. I've got another one top of the hour, even though the first lady is going to reschedule.
That part is good, but I think that until we lower the numbers enough that you and I aren't doing this work anymore, I think I would like you to make a continuous return to the show.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Because I think you always have great ideas. You always have new information. And I'm always happy to talk to you.
As my friends say, he's full of it.
And that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, yeah.
Absolutely. I totally love that. And you reinvigorate me, too.
Oh, good. I'm glad I can have an impact on you.
Yeah, I think you have a wonderful impact on me and everyone else. With that said, I thank you so much for coming today, Frank. We will have all Frank's information down below in the transcript. And in our show notes, we'll have links. So if you want to get Frank to speak to you and your group, you'll know how you can find him. We'll also have the QR code on the screen when we end again, so that people can make sure that they can link to Stop, Drop, and Roll.
Yes.
I think that's excellent. What a wonderful idea.
Agreed.
And I'll be sure and also put that in any posts we do about the show today.
I just came across it this past within the last 10 days. I'd never seen it before.
Wow. Yeah, I'd never heard of that. I think that's absolutely brilliant.
Yep.
Because it's something we've all heard.
Yes, and know exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And as I said, look, you got to want the fire to go out and you got to drop to the ground. The ground's not coming up to help.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that way you know that person really does want help.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, young lady.
All right, young man.
Good to see you.
Yep, we'll say our goodbyes. Goodbye to the audience, my guest Frank King. I thank him very much. I'm Elaine Lindsay. Suicide Zen Forgiveness, and as per usual, make the very best of your today every day. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to SZF42.com. And for our American listeners, that's SZF42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.
Through the pain, we all belong together in hope, because you matter.